Welcome back to the Act Two podcast, a podcast for the real life working screenwriter. I am Tasha Hugh.
And I am Josh Hallman.
Josh, there's a lot of construction going on literally right next to me. So if you hear voices, if you hear a loud bang, it's just my world today. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It adds character. It makes us vulnerable. Lets people know we're real.
We are not AI. We are actually this bad at podcasting.
No, we can't control. Everything in LA is under construction. You can't control
it. That's what it feels like. Yeah. Well, welcome back. As a reminder, we are Act Two. We are a network and support group for the everyday working screenwriter, of which this podcast is just one of the cool initiatives we do. So thank you for joining us here. Please remember to subscribe to the podcast. That way you get updates on shit that's going on here. Also, follow us on the socials at Act Two Writers and on Twitter and Instagram.
It's been a second.
We took a week off because I got sick and I couldn't actually speak. I actually had a pitch that same week. And my manager was like, you have to at least like show up to the pitch. I was like, what do you mean I can't talk? Like, why should that feels very performative to just show up and just to be like, look, I'm sick. And this is actually, I'm just going right into This Week in Writing.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. This Week in Writing.
This Week in Writing.
So, I had this pitch and I had originally asked to push the pitch a little bit because I just like wasn't quite ready. There's a lot of material I had to get through and so many ways this pitch could go. So it took me a while to like kind of get my thoughts together. But the exec that I was pitching to said, I can't push it. I'm going out of town. So I was like, all right, I'll make it work. But then I got sick and I couldn't talk. And so my manager was like, if you cancel now, she's going to think you're lying. The way a teacher is like, the dog ate my homework situation, because you wanted to push before. So to
you're
sick. Yeah, I wanted to push before. So to say, oh, I'm sick, I'm so sorry, makes it feel like, oh, right, whatever. You're just trying to get your push. And I was like, well, but I'm not. I can't. Can you just tell them I can't talk? Like, can my mom call the principal and just tell them I can't talk? And she's like, no, you should show up for the pitch and prove that you can't talk.
But this is insane.
And so I did. And she, the woman, because I kind of warned her beforehand, the exec, I was like, look, I'm kind of feeling sick, I'll be there. And so I show up to the Zoom and she's like, thank you so much for still, you know, pitching your idea, even though you're sick. And I was like, she's like, oh, and she's like, okay, we'll reschedule. And we tried to reschedule for the next day, but I woke up and I still couldn't talk. So I had to email her and cancel again. So we're going to do it when she gets back from town. But that is all to say, like, that whole situation was very strange to me. And it was interesting from my manager's perspective, because she's also a producer herself. And she was like, a lot of people will call out of these pitches because they're quote unquote sick. And we don't fucking believe them. We think they just want more time. And so it sours our feeling about that writer sometimes if we don't believe them, because we think they're not invested in the project, or why are they taking so long? Like, that's very suspicious, whatever. Whatever sort of comes up for them. And she's like, I don't want them to feel that way about you, because you are very dedicated to this. I want you to show them that even though you're sick, you're going to show up for this. And I was like, that's like not my personality. That's sort of like, again, the performative part. But here I am to tell the tale.
Yeah, it's crazy, because when we were messaging about it, I was like, just say you can't go. Like, because I guess maybe because I know you wouldn't be lying about it, but I understand that perspective. And it made me realize that I'm assuming, because it's never happened to me, I'm assuming this was the first time this has ever happened to you, where you were so sick that you're like, I cannot make this pitch.
Yeah, and this is how I operate. Even though I couldn't talk, I still had a ton of meetings all those days that I couldn't talk, meetings that I had to lead. So I still went to all of those meetings, but I just like wrote in the Zoom chat or like texted people my answers to things. And that's how I led the meetings. And that's how dedicated I am to things. But they don't know that, right? Like, they don't know me from Adam, as it were. Is it, yeah, like even last year, the same thing happened to me. I got sick and then I lost my voice for a few days and I was running the Mighty Nein writer's room and I had to go over, everyone was in the office, I was on Zoom, and then people would pitch ideas and I'd have to like type out like my responses to their ideas and questions.
Oh my
and
God,
stuff.
I was just terrible. Sitting there waiting, just being like, okay, and then they get stuck in this cave and then there's a fight between these two and you're like, you're thinking and you're just waiting and there's this dead space. You're like, yeah. And then it's like,
the energy
not
was
good.
So weird.
Like, okay, cool, we'll just keep moving on. That'd be terrible. But yeah. You did it. You did the stuff. Unfortunately, people don't see the sacrifices that are put into it.
It's true.
They don't even think about it.
No. In fact, we'll probably come back from the break. I'll pitch and she'll be like, you had a whole extra week and this is the pitch you gave up.
Oh, this is what your voice sounds like?
Yeah, right.
I have something. I have one. Okay. I have a This Week in Writing. So, Tasha, you and I are currently writing something and we did the treatment for it, but it's like a scriptment, right?
Yeah.
Is that what these are technically called? I'm bringing this up because I'm familiar with this. And what it is basically is we went into final draft and we laid out all of the scenes and what happens in the scenes. It's a lot of exposition. Sometimes there's some dialogue. It's written out. We have like a 50-page treatment for it. And I loved it. And I've done it once before, but it's been a long time. And I'm bringing this up because I recently did it again for something that I'm writing. I'm currently doing it now. And I was like, why haven't I been doing this my entire life? Like, this is, you know, when you find something that works for you, it works for me. It's so helpful.
I remember this moment in our lives when we were in writer's group and like we sort of both got over our impatience to write and like our ego that we can just make a perfect script just without outlining. And we started outlining and we were like, oh, this is a game changer. And then we lost it again. But yeah, like we do it in TV. We do this like level of outlining. And I have found it that when we get to script, it's going to be so much easier.
Totally.
That, like, I love it. And I also don't do it for everything I do. And I don't know why. I need to get my shit together.
And just to clarify, it is, you know, the scene heading and then the characters in the scene just kind of talking through. Some of it probably can go one-to-one in the script. Some of it will have to be changed. But it just lays it out. It's the outline. And you're just looking at it. You're like, wow. What the?
Yeah.
Just for me, I was like, man, this has been really helpful. Very
helpful.
Yeah,
it's just like kind of paragraphs about what's happening in the scene and what are they talking about and how they're reacting. Like even reaction shots are kind of written in there in paragraph form. And then every now and again, we'll even put like a line that a character says if it kind of comes to us in the moment.
Well, that's what's interesting is I feel like you almost start organically writing it because you can't help yourself.
Totally.
And then you're like, oh, cool, this is going to be in the script.
Yeah. I remember I, as the showrunner in Mighty Nein, turned in an outline wherein I did like a character, you know, like a character line where like the character break is and then like Josh is in the middle of the script and then I did, you know, like when you write a script and then my writers were like, this isn't how you do an outline. You need to change this. I was like, excuse me.
What? Really?
Yeah, because I got like so into it. It basically felt like I was writing the script.
Yeah.
And I was just like doing dialogue. But technically in an outline, you're supposed to just kind of do like, you know, Josh is all the way left as if it was a paragraph heading. And then colon and then what he would say versus actually putting it in dialogue format. But like, I don't fucking care about format, guys. Like, I don't care if we turn it in like this.
It's interesting because it does have an official feel to it once you start putting in.
It looks like a character dialogue. That's fair.
And almost you get married to that idea. It's
for
hard
sure.
to detach yourself from something that's already there.
It is.
Anyway.
Yeah. I have more This Week in Writing. I'm so sorry. Josh.
Don't ever apologize.
The Oscars happened. And we haven't gotten to have a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what your favorite Oscar moments were? And did you enjoy them?
I did. I enjoyed the Oscars. That's right. We didn't get to talk about it. I thought it was as good as the Oscars can get in the current state of the Oscars and the entertainment industry. I thought they were great. The Ryan Gosling, I'm Just Ken performance was my favorite part. John Cena, of course, the twins, like the there was a couple presenters that came out where I was just like, man, I love the way that the actors gave other actors awards. It made there was something very personal about it. So overall, I really liked it. There was a couple lulls here and there. I would like to suggest we just cut all music from the Oscars.
I hard disagree on this.
I
just think this year the nominees were poor.
Oh.
Besides, of course, I've just had.
Well, so
would
unless it's
Peaches was in this, but
oh my God, if that was it, unless it's this, you know what? Unless it's like an outlier song that strangles pop culture, like I'm Just Ken or Peaches, or it's from the actual movie, then I think I'm okay with it.
Do you remember back in the day when we were growing up and watching this, the musical numbers were like a huge deal. Like they were pretty big performances. So they were those performances, and also almost always the host would do a performance based on the best picture. So throughout the entire show, you knew there was going to be some kind of really fun theatrical nod to one of the best picture performances. And lately, I feel like we've just chosen like just comedy hosts who aren't necessarily like theatrical performers. And I miss those days. And you also mentioned something I think that would be cool that would make the show more fun, which is almost treat it like a Super Bowl in the sense that clearly the presenters would come out because they were often advertising a new movie that was going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ariana Grande and the Wizard of Oz movie that's going, like.
Yeah. Show us a new trailer.
Like that's, you go and you're like, this is where I'm going to finally see this teaser for the first time, right? Like that's fucking cool.
Yeah. Did you like the Oscars?
I really enjoyed it, yes. All the same things you said. The Batman part was my favorite. I died. It was just the best because that's my Batman.
Michael Keaton's your Batman. Yeah, I think he's all of our Batmans. Can I do one more?
Yes.
I've been watching Goosebumps.
Okay.
I'm here to be an advocate for Goosebumps on Disney+. I went in. I didn't. It's more in line with Stranger Things than it is like maybe a traditional kids Goosebumps.
Like Monster House or something.
Yes, it scared me. Like to the point where I watched a couple episodes and I was like, I gotta watch something else. Like, cause I was like so freaked out by
how interesting. I will definitely check it out.
Just from a writing perspective, there's a good tone. There's comedy infused. There's still like that lightheartedness, which I think is so hard to do, but then also have these scary moments where you're just kind of like, oh man, I'm unsettled. You're not like, they're not jump scares. It's just like, dude, this shit
does
is
Does it
like,
feel like it's still for kids, even with that scariness?
I think it's for kids, yes, in the sense of like late teens. I would It's like 12 and above.
Huh.
So that's early teen. But I'm trying to get my head into that territory. But no, like in terms of, like young, like 8 to 10 year olds, I don't think so. That's me personally. Maybe there's people out there who watched it, but it's creepy, man.
Huh.
It's super creepy.
Makes me very excited.
But yeah, the tone of it is really interesting. So you have to. I want you to give it one episode.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
I'd love to watch that. Okay, my last thing. I'll make it very quick. This week, I was on a panel for video game adaptations for the Junior Hollywood Radio and Television Society over at CAA. And it was very fun. But the reason I wanted to bring it up as a This Week in Writing is because apparently after the panel was over, my husband and a friend of mine, Ellen, they were sitting in the stands and they heard people next to them being like, I wish that panel was different. And like what they wished was different was that they wish we talked more about the process of video game adaptation. So this is an open question to all of you out there. If you have questions about video game adaptation process as a writer, please just email us. Email us your questions because people weren't asking those questions at the panel. And so we didn't really get into that. But if you have questions about that, please email them and we'll try to answer them on the podcast.
That's a redo. It's a panel redo.
Exactly. Okay, we can get into our main topic now, unless you have something else.
I've got nothing.
Okay. Today, we are talking about when to take a note and when to stand your ground. And this came from a listener who wrote us asking for some advice because they were getting notes from a producer that they didn't agree with. Notes that they felt would change the entire essence of the script that they loved and that they believed in. And it was their spec. So it came from a place of, you know, personal passion. But then there was this additional carrot of, but if this producer likes my script after I change it, maybe they'll want to do something with it. So what do I do? And I thought, we both thought it was such a good question and just such a hard question to answer. So we thought we would kind of start opening up that topic here on the podcast.
Let's freaking go. I think we got fired up about it. Every once in a while, one of those topics come in. You're like, oh. And then you just get, then you're worked up.
You spiral yourself over all the scenarios in your own head. Yeah, and in thinking about this topic and prepping for it today, I realized it's actually a much bigger topic that I think we can get into in another episode that I just like wasn't ready for how big this topic was. Because there's a way to just sort of break down all the different scenarios that you're going to come up against as a professional screenwriter where these big script changes are being asked of you and what you should do in each of those scenarios. And that's, and also I think a big part of the reason why it's such a hard question to answer or give advice on, so take this entire episode with a grain of salt, is that no two scenarios are the same, right? So it's really a case-by-case basis. So the best you can do, listen to what we have to say today and then just trust your gut is kind of what the ultimate advice is going to be, I feel like.
No, you listen to us. All right, where to begin?
I guess let's first start talking about when do you not stand your ground against a note, Joshua?
This is when I typically cave. When the note will not lead to, well, let me rewind. There's a big difference if you're getting paid or if you're not getting paid, right?
Like, okay, so in this scenario, it's on spec. No one's paid you any money.
Yes.
But you're prepping the spec to take out to market and you're with a producer.
Yes.
Okay.
So I have compromised, but you kind of have to gauge the severity of what this note will do. If it is one of those notes where someone comes, they're like, hey, in this scene, can we just have her doing this or this or this and whatever. It's that small note. You're like, easy, no problem. If that's going to make you happy, you're going to feel like you contributed to this script, no problem, dude. That's it. But when it's one of those notes where it's like something happens in act one and all of a sudden it changes the entire complexity of the script and has those ripple effects where you're like, okay, this isn't the story and it's a lot more work and I'm not really confident this is the right thing, that's where you kind of stand your ground. I give in where if I don't fully agree with the note, but I know that it's not going to harm the script, I'll give in when it doesn't have the ripple effect throughout the script. Does that make sense?
Yes.
What do you think? Where do you fall in this?
I completely agree with you. Yeah. I mean, everything you just said, I don't even have anything to add. It's exactly right. For me, if I'm on a job, I definitely stand my ground less. And I think this is where the professional part of being a screenwriter starts to come in, the part of it being a job where being good at your job of being a screenwriter isn't just that you can write really great words on a page and the words make beautiful sense, but can you give in to what a producer wants while also maintaining the integrity of the movie or the show that you are writing? And I kind of want to explain what that means a little further, which if a producer pays you, let's say there's an open writing assignment, that means that you have come onto a project that they own and operate. They are literally contracting you the same way, for example, that you might hire an interior designer to decorate your house. And you know vaguely what you want. You know what you like. You like nerd art and you like bright colors maybe. But you absolutely have no idea how to like put those things you know you like into a room and still make it look good and open and cozy. And yes, I'm talking about myself here. my house is completely bare because, and we've lived here for 2 years. Because I have no idea how to decorate it. So you hire someone to do that, right? Now, it doesn't mean that the interior designer now owns your living room, right? It doesn't mean that interior designer should come in and say, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, you love nerd art and you love bright colors. But when you walk into this space, it really yells mute tones to me. And so you come home and suddenly your living room is full of tan leather and like mauve. Their job is not to do that. Their job is not to make your living room their own. Their job is to hear what you want and to execute it in a manner that blows you away and hits exactly what you want in ways you never even knew you wanted it. And that is what a professional screenwriter has to do. That is their everyday job, when you are hired by a company, at least, to write on a project that belongs to that company. And then in those cases, you really do need to be much more open about executing the notes that you are receiving.
Mm-hmm.
There was an example in my own life with a script where I was hired on as an open writing assignment to write this movie, and I was really, really proud of it. I thought the opening in particular was really good. And then a director came on and said, yeah, the opening's not doing it for me. I really think it should kind of be more tonally this, or how about situationally it's this instead. And I very much disagreed with this note because I thought it brought us into the movie in a tonally wrong way. Like, it made the movie almost initially too silly instead of the more dramatic tone that I felt like this movie needed to be. But the director really believed in this. And because the director was, you know, bigger and more A-list than me, the producers also very much agreed with the director. And so the producers came to me after that meeting and said, you need to do what he said. And I was like, but here's the reasons why I don't think it will work. And they were kind of like, well, I don't care. Make it work. Like, do the thing he said, but try to make it still have the tone that you think is being lost in the pitch that he had. So it was my job to kind of do something I didn't agree with, but also make it good. And again, that's part of what you have to do. And I think the phoning in of that process could be, I could just take the note and fucking give them exactly what they want and it's bad. But why would I do that? Not only does it make me look bad because they're going to read it and know that it's bad and blame me and not themselves, but it just overall just makes the movie worse, right? So execute it the best way you can. And again, that's part of being a screenwriter, is taking the note and making it good. So yeah, when you're paid, or when you're in a situation where, like, we got to take this to market and I'm not taking it to market unless you do these things, it becomes more of a conversation of, yeah, maybe I should sort of not stand my ground.
Yeah, in that scenario, you have to convince yourself that it's a great note and you have to love it. And then when you write it, you have to just forget that you hate it and be like, you know what? This is what it is. And then you have to infuse yourself. You almost, it's like using two parts of your brain to just forget that. Because in writing, you can tell when, exactly what you said. You hurt yourself, I think, when you execute something and you can just tell that it's, oh, I only did this because you told me to. So here, fuck you. It looks bad.
Excuse yes, my language. Exactly.
It's almost like you're trying to prove to someone that it was a bad note, but what ends up happening is you just make yourself look bad.
Yeah, agree. And I think sort of a general rule to think about when you do get a note and you're debating whether to stand your ground or to give in is exactly what Josh was saying right at the top, was, does this note make the script worse or just different than you imagined? And if the note is going to make the script worse, I say that you should argue that every time, the way I did with this particular opening scene, right? So the more I talk through it, the more I'm able to find a version that's good within the parameters that they're looking for. Because keep in mind, you and the producers do only want to make a good movie or TV show, right? They're not out there giving you notes, trying actively to make this worse. They don't make money that way either. And I think there are, of course, a million delicate and political ways to do this with your producers. And that is an episode we have talked about in the past, an episode we'll definitely have in the future, just how to talk to producers about notes. But if the note is just going to make the script different, then I think you have a choice to make in that scenario. Where do you just want to take their money and make it whatever they want because who cares, they're the client? Or also, do you no longer see a way to enjoy the script? And you'd hate to have your name on it and feel like it would actually be better to just walk away from this paycheck entirely than to be complicit in this crazy change. And that is not an easy choice, and it will never be an easy choice, but it is a choice you will constantly come up against over the course of your career, whether it's at the start of, like, hey, this is the deal they're offering you and it fucking sucks, and everyone on your team is telling you not to take it, but you're like, but I have to pay my rent, so I'm going to take it. Like, you have to, from day one, you're going to have to make these difficult choices. However, in this scenario, I would challenge all writers out there to let go of your ego, because just because the script will be different than you imagined with these notes doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a bad script. And this is actually something that's happening to me right now, or I'm working on something and the episode is about 10 minutes too long. And in animation, your budget defines your shot count. So each shot costs an animation company a certain amount of money and time to animate it. So you can only have like a certain range of shots in your episode. So if you're 10 minutes too long, you're also like hundreds of shots over. So now you have to start getting creative, right? You have no other choice. You have to find ways to substantively edit back your episode and take out things that, by the way, you have already trimmed to shit, right? Because by the time your script gets to production, you've already trimmed this thing. You've taken out stuff that you love. And now you're being asked to take out 10 additional minutes from your trimmed back script. So it's hell. But one of the suggestions that an executive producer had on this was to cut a scene that I personally absolutely love. And it has a plot reason for being there too. And he just wants to cut it whole cloth. And I have to actually consider this. And it sucks because, like, I don't know. At this point in the process, you're 10 minutes over and you're in the middle of production. You're starting to triage. And sometimes that means you have to cut whole fucking scenes and just rip them out. And it's sad and it's terrible. And it's going to make the script different than I wanted it to be. But it's not going to substantively change the story of the script. You are not, if you go and watch this episode, you will never know I took this scene out and you will not miss it. I will miss it.
Right.
When it's those kinds of notes, it's a long-winded way of saying when you get those kinds of notes, I think let go of your ego and just do what's best for the story. Do what's best for production. Just get the best possible show made. And the end.
No, that's great. Couple things. I'm gonna pivot back into you're just writing with a producer and you're just trying to get your script out there. You haven't been paid for it. Number one, we've talked about this. The idea of managing your manager, managing your producer, managing your whoever, your executive, like as a writer, you sometimes have to do that. And this is stemming from the question that we got where the person was kind of, he was in the scenario where it was like you're far down the road with this producer and you've taken a few notes, you've agreed with this producer for so long, and then all of a sudden there's a bump and now you just don't agree with it, but it's kind of like if you don't take the note, then maybe nothing will happen and you're kind of in your head about it. You know, this is all to say you're just managing the producer and you're, as a writer, you're like, you know what, I really like this note. I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it my own spin and make it feel as though you're kind of like merging both worlds, but you're still just doing your own thing and explaining why you want to do that, because I feel like that's just such a common scenario. It's just, I know what that scenario is.
Yeah, that's a hard scenario. I hate it so much because you feel like this is your shot. This could, and then the balance that's on the scale now is how much do I want a career and to get my career going and to have this opportunity, and how much do I want just a script that I love that will sit on my desktop and that no one will make? It's not an easy choice, is for sure.
Can I just tell a quick story?
Yeah, please.
Anytime I get notes, sometimes I drift off and I like start thinking about how that note could be implemented, but my face starts looking as though I hate the idea because I think
this
I just kind of...
This is very true. You look so mad when you receive notes.
But I'm not. I'm just thinking about it. And I like have this like angry blank expression on my face. So I had a meeting one time and we did the meeting outside and I was meeting with someone based off of a script that I had. And we were like, we really liked the script. We wanted to give you some notes. But since the meeting was outside, I was wearing sunglasses. And so I was sitting there and I ended up finding out afterward, because the producer ended up telling me, that I had this like vacant, like expressionless, I was just sitting still, just listening, occasionally nodding, like, but I wasn't, because this guy was just talking and I apparently wasn't saying anything. I don't even remember, but I was just processing everything. The reason I'm bringing this all up is it's something to be aware of when you get notes, because a lot of times you're like, you have to figure out how to work with people. I don't know if this is tying together the way I want it to, but you do. And these little things matter. I found this out because people thought I had like some like resting angry face, but really I was just thinking. That's all. I was just like
my thinking face is usually very angry looking too, so I empathize. Yeah, I agree. And in those scenarios, like the one that you mentioned about the listener as well, and just situations you and I have been in, I try before just addressing the note, I try to, if it's one of these where I'm like, oh God, this will change the very nature of this script. Do I do it for them? And I have done this, by the way. I have gone against what I believed in for something. It was one my first ever script that was potentially ever going to get produced. And I made a lot of changes that I didn't want to do. I changed the race of a character. I changed the relationship to the male actor in the movie, the male character, because they wanted it to prop up the male actor so that they could get a big name for that part. And all these, and it wasn't his story.
Yeah.
all these compromises I made, I have done it, and I will say, if this helps you with your choices, I regret everything that I did. And now they were never able to sell it, and it's because the script was worse, I think, for those changes that were made. And now, however many years later, I've gone back to the original version of it, and that's what I'm going to start working off of. I want to try to sell it again and just do a pass on the very original before anyone ever got in there. And I think that will be closer to what a good script is. So if that helps you, hindsight is 20/20, and I would not have made those changes, even how tempting it was. But it's also conversations, right? Like you were saying, conversations with the producer. Why do you think this? Because if I make these changes, this is what's going to happen. And I know you don't want to make this movie worse. So like, what are you trying to get at? What is their note behind the note? Because maybe it's actually not as egregious as you think.
Yeah. I think the most important thing you said was the ego, because that's like, it gets in the way so often. You just have to evaluate like, well, am I just being stubborn, or is this something that could actually help the script?
Yeah.
It's hard to do, but
it's hard to
do. You have to.
You have to take yourself out of it. It's just, it is a movie that needs to get made, and your job is to make it the best it could possibly be. It's no longer you on the page. It's actually interesting, because a lot of people ask me about Tomb Raider now that we're getting close to actually, you know, releasing it. Like, how do you feel? Like, do you feel like it's so magical? And I'm like, no, I actually don't, weirdly, and I expected to. But because I have distanced myself so much from the script, and I'm just trying to make it the best possible show it can be, tweaking every single frame that I can, like we're like that's the stage we're at. That it does, it no longer feels personal. It may when I watch it finally for the first time, but it's no longer personal. It's like we're all a team trying to make it the best it can be. And I think the earlier you can get to that stage with your script, the better.
I think the most successful people, I'm looping you into this as well, because you're really good at doing this, is executing ideas and notes. And we've talked about a mutual friend we have. I talked to him about it, and he was like, I can execute. Like, there's certain things I can't do, but when I get a note, I can execute, because you just, it's like understanding what the script needs. And as a screenwriter, I think that is, it's almost overlooked to a certain extent.
Yeah,
because
it is.
It's like a secret sauce of, people can write. You can write a beautiful scene, but like, can you execute a script? And that's like a big difference,
yeah.
I think, in a lot of people that I've talked to who have had a lot of success. There's like that mutual thread in between of like, man, I can just fucking nail exactly what this person is looking for. Like,
I know what this note means, and I know what it, like how to make it work on a production level, all of that. Yeah. Okay, this brings us to sort of the second half of the conversation, which is, when do you stand your ground and tell a producer, hey, I hear you, but I'm not going to make that change. I don't think it's good for the project, or I don't want to write that version of the movie. Josh, have you come up to this in your own life as a screenwriter?
I have. You just stand your ground. You're just like, it's like anything. It's that natural progression. At first, it starts where you're stubborn. You're like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that. Sorry. To having more level-headed conversations about, hey, I really don't want to do this, and this is why. X, Y, and Z. And usually when you explain yourself, it works out. If you're not
usually
getting paid
it does.
Usually when you're like, hey, this is why. I'm not going to change this ethnicity. I don't want to
change. Unless you're doing it on everything. But like, if you are standing your ground on the thing that matters, people do tend to listen to you. And the, I mean, that's a political way of dealing with it too, right? Take all their notes, even the ones you kind of don't like. But if they're not substantive, like take it anyways, and then stand your ground on the thing that really matters.
Totally. I think that's why you take those little notes that don't really matter, that aren't going to change. Yeah. Like, hey, listen, I've done this, but I just don't feel comfortable doing this. And this is why. Why have you, what have you stood your ground and said, no, I'm not doing it?
It's funny because I just told a story where I didn't stand my ground on this one particular script. But on this particular script, before those producers got in there and that carrot was sort of given to me, I got this note, which was, Tasha, I think we'd have a better chance of selling your spec if you change the main character to a white man instead of a mixed race woman. And that was a note I stood my ground on. I did change her race later, which I didn't agree with, but it didn't, it still allowed me to make the movie I wanted to make, even though she was a different race. But
what the?
Yeah, that's one where I'm like, I can't do it. And it was interesting because even there was a time where I got that note and I was like, no, we're not doing that. The movie is, it needs to be a woman. That is the story of a woman. But an actor, an Academy Award winning actor, in fact, wanted to attach himself to the movie, but only if he could play the woman's role. So he wanted to make it a man, a white man, and then be in the movie. And obviously that would get the movie made. But I was like, I can't in good conscience, I can't do that, you guys. I'm so sorry.
Sure.
No. He can play the dude in the movie. How about that? And that was just something as a choice I had to make. And that was before I'd ever gotten paid on anything. So like this would have obviously made my career, but I had to make that choice. So there are times where you stand your ground and it's still okay. Like things will work out.
Did you regret that? No, this script that I know what you're talking about, you would have lost sleep over it.
Oh,
you'd still just, to this day, if you did that, because that's,
like, imagine if my career started from that place. Oh, I just feel dirty my entire life and regretful.
I have a scenario where I have stood my ground and then I've just given in, and it's actually recently happened to me where
Go
I just
on.
Took notes and I was like, F it. I don't even care what happens anymore.
I feel like I know exactly the phase of life you're talking about. I remember how defeated you were.
This was what started as a father-daughter script. And then this was years ago. And then it came back into my life. And then years later, came back in. And then we were taking it out again. And everyone was on board with it. We had momentum. And then the strike hit. And it just destroyed it. Then, like, the industry kind of changed in, like, a matter of, they're like, too big budget, not gonna happen. Like, all right, no problem, it's dead again, we're moving on from it. And then the producer was like, what if we just change the sex to, it's like a mother-daughter story? And I was like, I don't know, man, how much work is this gonna be? And then we talked about it, and then I was like, you know what, F it, I'm doing it. I don't care, let's do it. Because I kind of evaluated, I was like, all right, this is gonna be about a week of my life.
Yeah,
turned out being a little more than that. And then I just was like, hey dude, I'm done. I'm just no more. No, he's like, well, I have one more. And it got to the point where I was like, no more. I'm not taking any more notes. You send it to my reps. I'm good. I'm done. I'm done with this. And so I just gave up on that one.
I get it.
I don't. I feel dirty.
I get it. No, it's the one you get beginning beat down. It's fine. I'll just fucking change it. It's fine.
How much work is this going to cost me? Like a week? Is it still good? All right, then.
Oh God.
You know. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. That's I think the general overview of this topic. Of, I mean, it is, like, that these are sort of our guiding principles of when we stand our ground and when we don't. And then there's definitely an episode upcoming that's going to get into these details of, like, if it's a spec and it's your manager and agent giving you these notes, hey, I'm not going to take it out to the market unless you do this. What do you do? Right, because if it sells and it's not the movie you want to make, I mean, that's a problem too. I think it's important to walk through various scenarios that are difficult in our industry, even if the answer is it sucks. Like, we don't have an answer, but just so you know, this is a quandary that you will face in this process, and That's kind of what always sucked for me about this industry is there's no right answer. And as someone who like loved tests in school, there was so much certainty to I get an A plus if I answer all these right. Mm-hmm. There's no like answer anything right here. Every scenario is different. Every producer you meet may come up with the exact same sort of situation, but just the personality is different. And that will change how you deal with these notes. Like, it's all so hard. That's why we're here, though, to talk through it all.
It is. And there's, exactly what you're saying. There's different like nuances to each scenario and how much work you have to do, what you don't have to do. You just have to like kind of look ahead into the future, kind of take a step back and really evaluate. All right, well, am I just selling my soul here? Is this going to change my favorite script that I've ever written in my entire life? Do I even care about this script? Is this, you know, it's like all these different things that come into consideration. But in conclusion, ego, what Tasha said.
Ego, all about the ego. Squash it. Okay, quote of the day. Sometimes writing is opening up your laptop, looking at a blank page on Final Draft for about 8 hours, and then feeling sad, and then closing it. That's still classified as writing. Taika Waititi. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Follow us at Act 2 Writers for more awesome writing stuff. You can follow me, Tasha, at Story Thursday on Instagram or on Twitter at Tasha3.0.
I'm Josh Hallman on Instagram. Joshua Hallman on X?
And as always, the Act 2 Podcast is a production of Act 2, a network and support group for the everyday working screenwriter. This episode was edited by Paul Lundquist.